I want to give us just a few things to reminders out of the Word of God and familiar passages, but just want to consider this and how the Lord has taken this and brought it down here to our day. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. And I trust these are familiar passages with you. If not, make them familiar, okay? Make them familiar to you. And here, just as we consider the Lord's church and what He's done in this, in making this institution. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, Scripture says, "And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And that's what it really gets down to, that. Who do you say the Lord Jesus Christ is? Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ," or the Messiah, the Savior, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." He didn't know it by himself, but "My Father which is in heaven," He's the one that's revealed it. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a little stone, but upon this rock," speaking of himself, the Lord is, "I will build my church." The contrast between you and me, Peter, is great. I'm not going to build my church on you or on a man. I'm going to build my church upon me. Amen. Bedrock, solid rock, the great rock, the everlasting rock. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," meaning the death of men, the grave. It's not going to cause my church to go out. I'm going to build her, and we know that she's going to be here till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And he also says here, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven," not to Peter, but to the church. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." There's authority and responsibility there. "Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So here the Lord makes a promise. He's going to build his church. He's purposed to do that. He's going to build her upon himself. And we take a look over in Acts chapter 2 and we see, how is it that the Lord built it? How is it that he's built his church, his kind of church, a New Testament Baptist church, as we refer to often to make the distinction of such? And we see here in Acts chapter 2, it's a simple way. It is a divine and it is a spiritual way that the Lord builds His church. It's a great and marvelous and wonderful way that He does so, but yet it's very simple. It when mankind, the world, and the way of the world looks on upon it, they don't esteem the building of the Lord's church as much. But it's great in the eyes of God. It's great in His sight. How is it that the Lord builds His churches? In Acts chapter 2, the last verse in verse 47, it says here, about those early disciples there, and after Pentecost, it says there in verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord would add this sinner, this saved sinner, and that saved sinner, and He would add them daily. He would be adding to her. He was building her up out of the people that He would save. And even though He wasn't physically on the earth at this time, but through the moving and work of the Spirit and the preaching of that first church, we look up here in verse 41 of this same chapter, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." The Lord's adding. The Lord's adding to His church. He's building her up in the promise and fulfilling the promise that He had said. We see over in chapter 5. Chapter 5 in verse number 12. It says here, "And by the hands of the apostles," Acts 5:12, "by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." There was some fear there because of what the Lord had done even amongst His people. He dealt with some liars that were there in the church, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied. They lied about things. They were members of the church there. They sought to seek praise and the accolades of men to themselves. And the Lord dealt with them, and that caused there to be this great fear. And it says in verse number 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. And so the Lord's adding. The Lord's adding. He's adding and saving sinners and adding them to His church. They're coming and submitting themselves for baptism, and by virtue of that baptism, they identify with Christ, they identify with what He has done for them in the saving of their souls, and they're becoming members of that first church. Even yet, we see more of this in the Lord adding to His church. In Mark chapter 2, take a look over here. How is it that the Lord adds to His church? He's promised a builder. He's not building it out of bricks and mortar and timbers and siding. And it's not talking about building of buildings, is it? We're talking about building an institution, building a body. A body that's alive. It's alive because of the souls that He saved and the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within. Here we see here in Mark chapter 2, verse number 13, and He went forth again by the seaside, speaking of Jesus, and all the multitude resorted unto Him, and He taught them. And as He passed by, He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and He said unto him, follow Me. That's how the Lord builds His church. Now, the Lord isn't walking on the earth and audibly speaking to folks, but by the moving of the Spirit of God, we that are here, that are members of Olmsted Baptist Church, there was one day when you heard the Lord say, follow Me. This is what you're to do. My child, I've saved you. You hear My word. Follow Me. Follow Me. And it's a simple thing, but it's a great thing. But did you not hear that? You that are members of other churches that are visiting with us, the Lord saved you one day, and then you were blessed of the Lord to understand about baptism, understand about His church, and you heard the Lord say, follow Me, follow Me. The Lord giving that great example of baptism and the many things that speaks of. It says in verse number 15 of this chapter, Levi there at the end of verse number 14, and he arose and followed Him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in His house, in Levi's house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and His disciples, for there were many, and they followed Him. That's what we're to be doing in the church, isn't it? It's to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Where do we get our directive? Well, we don't get our directive from some other organization on the earth or another church or so. We get it from the Lord Himself, don't we? From His word, from His leadership in us. Remember, I want to remind you this, just in passing, you know, there are those that don't obey and follow the Lord. Okay, well, Brother Jim, well, what are you talking about? Well, remember in Mark chapter 10, there was that rich young ruler, as we refer to him, right? And he came and he was keeping the commandments, but he knew he was missing something. What is it that the scripture says there? Mark chapter 10, verse 21, I'll read it to you. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow Me. The one thing that the man lacked was Jesus. He did like Jesus' Savior, didn't he? But the Lord told him, he loved him, the scripture says, and He had compassion on him, and He told him the truth. So you lack one thing, you need Me, go get rid of all that you're trusting in and come follow Me. And the scripture goes on to say in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. At least at the account of the scripture at that time, that man didn't obey the Lord and didn't follow the Lord. But we have, haven't we? That's not to pump ourselves up, but it's a blessing from God. He's worked that from the beginning of instituting His church, and churches coming from that church over the millennia, over the centuries, over the millennia. The Lord has been building and adding to His church just that way. Come follow Me. Come follow Me. And the Lord has done that with us. The Lord's church, as it tells us in 1 Timothy 3, is what? Well, what's the purpose of the church? Is it a good social organization? Is it is the main thrust of it is just we can have fellowship and camaraderie? I mean, it's a big part of it, but the main purpose of it is for us, and we're going to see that, but to worship the Lord, serve the Lord, and then those side benefits, we have this fellowship, we have this unity and this tie. We see here that the Lord's church is something. And it tells in verse number 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly," Paul writes to the young preacher, Pastor Timothy, "but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now, talking about the building again, but about the members fitly joined together, as it tells us in other passages, "the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." That's what the church is. It's the pillar. What's a pillar? A pillar is a post that's going to bear a load. That ground is talking about even yet more support that's there. The pillar and the prop of the truth, and the church is to bear the truth and to hold up the truth and to stand in the truth and for the truth to a lost and dying world. And that's the purpose that the Lord made this institution. And there are other side benefits of it, but this is one of those things. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. You remember in John chapter 8, there were just folks that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ there. And what is it that he said unto them? In verse number 30 of John chapter 8, we pick it up here. The Lord's dealing with these folks and dealing and cutting to their straight to their issue. And it says here in verse number 30 of John chapter 8, "And as he spake these words," the Lord did, "many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It'll show forth if you continue in my word. And in doing so, and knowing that word, and following after that word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The pillar and prop of the truth, by the Lord giving his truth to his church, the word of God, part of that is that keys of the kingdom. Now, you want to find out about salvation in Old Testament times, or at the beginning, the Lord dealt with men and their families. And the Lord visited individual men and their families all the way up into the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then Jacob and his sons then became a great nation. And to find out about God then, there was then with Moses, there was the beginning of the oracle of God and the word of God. And so from individual men and families, then to his nation, and then the word of God, and then the Lord's church. There's always been a representation of God upon the earth. And in this day, it's his church. It's his local New Testament Baptist church. And that institution that he has made that bears and shoulders up the truth. The truth will make us free. A lie will bring us into bondage. But the truth sets us free. And we have been given the truth. And we're to stand in the truth. We're to fill up on the word of God and have it in our hearts and be able to proclaim it and give it. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In the Lord's church, the pillar and prop of the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ says he's the truth, isn't he? And everything in the church, it focuses upon Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ and because of him and unto him. And it's all about him, isn't it? Not about us, but about him. And so we see that the Lord has built his church. We see that it is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and we're to stand in that truth, support it, have it and proclaim it unto the world. And we see that very truth points back to the author and finisher of our faith, the one who built the church in the first place. We see it all focuses upon him. Well, why? Well, he's to be preeminent. He's number one. The third point is that the Lord has built his church for his glory. It's for his glory. In Colossians chapter 1, take a look over here. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 17, we'll pick it up. And he, that is Jesus, is before all things, and by him all things consist. He holds them together. He's made them. He's created them. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the one that rose from the dead first, that he might bring us with him, that in all he might have the preeminence. So it's all about the Lord. It's because of the Lord. It's about the Lord. It points to the Lord. We're to be a witness and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him, isn't it? It is all about him. In Ephesians chapter 3, familiar passage, I trust, it says in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think," and indeed he is, "he's brought us from sin and depravity and wickedness and nastiness and caused us to be joint heirs with him." Amen. Children of God, adopted by the Father. It says in Revelation that we might be made kings and priests before our God. He's done marvelous and wondrous things, hadn't he? Yeah. He has. Oh, the greatness and wonder of the Lord. He is before all things, verse 17, "by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence." It's all about the Lord. It's all about him. And I was reading here in Ephesians 3, "Now to him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." In that passage there, it says in verse number 10, this is connected, that's the wrapping up of that chapter. And look what, "unto him be glory in the church." He's able to do all these things. This power is working within us. And look at what it says here in verse 10. "That this mystery of God has been revealed unto the world through his church." Verse number 10, "to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." It's by the church that the Lord's revealing his manifold wisdom into a lost and dying world. Is this a hobby with the Lord? No, this is his great work amongst mankind. It is. It's a wondrous and blessed and great thing. And then, as you well know, in Matthew chapter 28, in the Lord creating this institution and that she is the pillar and ground of the truth, she's been built for his honor and his glory. The directive, the commission, as we refer to it, we find here in Matthew 28, verse number 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, and to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted." Oh, may the Lord help us that we not doubt the Lord, but we have faith in him, trust him, even though it looks impossible with us, that we might trust in him and believe him. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Because of that, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. He's given us a mission. He's given us that which we are to pursue. And we've had a kind of a review of that this weekend. And these brethren that have labored here, Brother Ed and Brother Jim that have labored here as pastors in this church, those brethren that have been pastors here and the membership over the course of the years and the 55 years that the Lord's blessed Olmsted Baptist Church to do this work and pursue this thing and to spread the gospel and to baptize believers and to teach to observe the all things. It's now come up here to our day. We praise the Lord for his blessings in the past, don't we? Those Ebenezers that are there, they're there for our encouragement, and we can look back on those, but we can't bring those up here to today. We've got to serve the Lord today, don't we? We need to be about that business that he's given us to do as it was before our time, and that in that, it brought it to us. Hear that? The Lord building His church and His working in His people and His calling of saints into His churches, and their pursuit and their desire to fulfill the commission and to know that they were the pillar and ground of the truth and seek the Lord's face in service, not perfect, but by the mighty hand of the work of God, His grace and His mercy upon him, that working and the purpose of God brought that all the way down to our day. And then we heard the gospel because of one of the Lord's churches. Well, Brother Jim, it might have been somebody else that was claimed another denomination or wasn't a member of the church, maybe that witnessed to you. Or maybe it was some radio broadcast or something on TV or a track or something like that. Well, listen, the truth is here by no other means than the Lord's church and the work of God. There are others that have had it and benefited from it. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord working in His institution. There's always that offshoot blessing that's there. And there are those that it's not revealed to them to be members of the Lord's church. The Lord saves them. But for some reason, in some way, they are not members of the Lord's church. We all know many that we believe and know by their own testimony they're not saved, but it's just not been revealed to them to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. They just don't understand it. Look what a great blessing the Lord has given us. And that He has blessed us with that fullness and that richness that is there. It is by the obedience of this commission and the blessing of our Lord and Savior that you and I are a part of Olmsted Baptist Church today. The Lord, from there in Jerusalem where He left His church at the time that He was crucified and died and was buried and rose again, that 40 days that He met with them and opened their understanding and taught them, and then He ascended back to the Father, from that church, hail all the Lord's churches all the way down to this time today, to Olmsted Baptist Church, and the Lord has been pleased to include us in it. Amen. I'm thankful for it. I praise God for it. It is a great thing. It's lightly esteemed by the world, but oh, it is highly esteemed by the Lord, not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. Amen. And we are the benefactors of it. We are blessed by it. It is a cycle that the Lord has ordained that will continue for His honor and His glory until Jesus comes again. We've all known of churches that have gone out of existence. There is that sense that churches are like people. They have a birth, they have a life, they have a death. That happens because it just works that way. But there have been other of the Lord's churches there, and there'll be at least one here when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. He made the promise that the grave and that death of men won't hamper her, won't pull her down, won't cause her to be out of existence. She will be here. And the Lord has done this, and by this life and death and perpetuation, this perpetuity, this succession, the Lord has brought it all the way down here to our day. You know, in Isaiah chapter 11, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." I know the part of that's talking about the millennial reign. I want you to turn in Matthew chapter 12, a scripture that comes from Isaiah 42. And I want to read something to you. I want you to hold it here in Matthew chapter 12. And I want to read this to you. As the Lord worked with that first church and those brethren, the apostles and the different brethren that were sent out of that church to preach and go, and that transition that was going on. It says in Acts chapter 11, verse 1, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." And it goes on to say in verse 18, "When they heard these things, after they talked about it and discussed it and considered it, heard the account of Peter at the house of Cornelius and those brethren from Joppa. And when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." It says here in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 17, the scripture says, the Lord speaking and dealing with them here, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, speaking of Jesus, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. Oh, he'll be perfect. He'll come right, just right. He'll fulfill all the will of the Father to him, till he send forth judgment into victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. The Lord sought not only of his countrymen and of his nation to save men and women, boys and girls, and add them to his church there that ended up after the Lord's resurrection started out from Jerusalem and went on out from Jerusalem. He built her in the day of his ministry. So that's how we refer to her. But not only of his countrymen and of the nation of Israel did he build that church, but he purposed that men, women, boys, and girls of all nations and of all nationalities, that he would save and that he would bring in that call to salvation and that call to be part of one of his churches. And the brother Ed sent to Brazil, and those Brazilian brothers and sisters that are there that are members of those churches and have been members of the churches, some died and going on to be with the Lord. The Lord sought even to bring the Gentiles to it. And what a blessing. Now, I'm not a Jew. And I praise God that he purposed to do that for us. And so I'm thankful to be a part of Olmsted Baptist Church. I'm thankful that the Lord has added me here. Yeah, I'm the pastor. And yes, and by the leadership of the Lord and the working of the Spirit and the church here and me, the Lord called me and you all called me to be pastor here. And by virtue of that, I became a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. And I'm glad that I'm here. Praise God that he's sought to put me in his institution, the church. A divine thing, a thing that's an operation, a work that's connected with eternity and with heaven, important to the Lord and great. Oh, may the Lord help us that we value our church membership. Our forebears, they served the Lord and they were faithful. And because of their faithfulness, the working of God in them, it made it such that that was brought to you and me. How will it be for those that lie ahead of us? Will it be able to be said, and if the Lord tarries his coming another 55 years, many of us won't be alive. Will it be able to be said of us that we continue to obey the Lord and that commission and that work and that calling of the Lord? Will we have a vision for the future? Will we have a vision for the coming generations, or will our vision just be about us? May the Lord help us to think about that. The Lord's vision has always been for future generations. And may the Lord help us in that.